James chapter 2, and I'm going to again read some verses that we've read the last couple of Sundays. Needful because we're not finished with this whole section concerning faith and works. But after the reading, we will be going over to the book of Romans, and I'll give you that reference and direction when we do. So, James chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And this is the word of the Lord, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray for hearing ears and open hearts to the truth of your word. Lord, send the Holy Spirit now just for Jesus' sake to teach and guide us, to illuminate our hearts and minds, and most of all, to let the glory and goodness of the Lord Jesus stand out in clear relief before us, Lord, that we see nothing else and hear no one else but Him. Lord, draw us to yourself now. Accomplish your work in each heart. We pray for salvation for those who need it, are gathered with us today, especially the young children among us, Lord. We ask for your saving work in their hearts, in your time and way, Lord. And again, we thank you for doing that for so many of us that are gathered here today and that are watching us by means of the internet. Lord, you have caused us to be born again to that living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we thank you and praise you. So, Lord, accomplish what you're pleased to now in this time. Whatever that might be, we will give you thanks for. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, this is a section in James chapter 2 that throughout the ages has caused much controversy within the body of Christ, much disagreement. As I've said already a couple of times, it was this particular section which ultimately led Martin Luther to say he did not believe James should be in the canon of Scripture, the letter. Although he said it was profitable in many ways, he felt that James clearly taught directly and diametrically in opposition to Paul's teaching of justification by faith, when James says, you see how a man's justified by works and not by faith only. So it has, and it continues to be, a point of disagreement, and will no doubt be until Jesus comes. The good thing about that is that when Jesus comes, our theology will be straight, completely. Until then, we all have some differences and disagreements and so forth. I heard about a well-noted preacher. If I use names right now, all of you would immediately click. But this pastor came to follow the tenure of a long, long time faithful pastor who had passed away. He came and took this very large church, and as he began to preach in some ways, particularly regarding end times, differently from the previous pastor. And so at one point the deacons called him in to a meeting and said, you know, you're teaching some different things. Brother so-and-so didn't teach that way. And he said, well, this is what I say. And they said more forcefully, Brother so-and-so did not believe that. This pastor paused for a minute. He said, he does now. So again, whatever that pastor believes is right now, as it is with everybody in heaven. So what do we do with this? How do we deal with this whole business of faith and works? Well, the fact that the word justified is given here in verses 21 through 25 three times makes it necessary for us to see just exactly what justification that James is referring to. I've already noted this and mentioned it to you previously, but I really felt like as I prepared the last week and a half or so for today that the Lord would have us go and first of all take a look at what justification by faith unto salvation really is all about. I don't think we can totally understand what James is saying here if we don't back up and get well grounded on what it means to be justified with God. Because you see, there are two types of justification, and the very fact that Paul seems to say one thing and James seems to say another points out that they are talking about different justifications. They have to be. And so, justification with God is Paul's theme throughout much of his writings. Justification with men is James's theme. Now, we won't get that today. We'll pick that up next week. But today I want to focus on justification with and by and before God. That is necessary unto salvation. So, go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, many have said this is the most important paragraph in the New Testament, perhaps in the entire Bible. I would certainly not argue that point. I might have some different verses I would choose, but the importance of this cannot be underestimated. Let me begin reading in the 19th verse as you follow along. Romans 3. Paul says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Let me just put in here a little comment. That's where we are. And that's where we've always been. "And every mouth in the world must be stopped, because all the world, except for, of course, God's people, is guilty before God." All right. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then, keep where you are, but let me just refer back to what James says here. He says, "You see that how by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Paul says, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without works. Now, do these men disagree? Or are they on the same page talking about two different aspects of justification? Well, since we have to operate from this sure premise, or we won't get settled in our hearts and minds, there is no, in any place, contradiction in the Bible. There is no contradiction in any place in the Scripture. Now, there are assumed contradictions that we as humans with weak minds and in the flesh see. But with God, there cannot be contradictions. There's none in His character, so there's none in His Word. So, if James and Paul seem to be talking about two different ways that you are saved or justified, that can't work. Because then that would deny the authority and inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible itself. So again, as I said, what we have to see is that Paul is talking about a different justification than James. So let's take a little time now, in our remaining time, to consider Paul's statements here concerning justification with, by, and before God. Now, let me give you a definition. It's not original with me. One of the old Baptist forebears penned this. Justification is an act of God's grace flowing from His sovereign will and good pleasure. Let me say it again. Justification is an act of God's grace flowing from His sovereign will and good pleasure. Which again refers to verse 24 here before us in Romans 3. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, here's some thoughts to consider. And when I say this, I mean I want you to consider these. I'm not standing up here as a potentate or a dictator declaring these things, but I want you to search the Scriptures on your own and see if you see that these things be so. First of all, if this is the nature of justification, as it says in verse 24, then justification with God, listen to me now, justification with us, between us and God, does not necessarily take place in a point in time in our lives. Now hang on, stay with me. Because if it is God's will to justify His people, and it is, all believers, then that will of God to justify is our justification. In other words, if He declares that, and His is a declarative will, then if He declares that, it's as good as done, right? And we can see that in the same category of anything else God has declared and has done or is going to do. The very return of Jesus Christ. In God's mind and plan, that's already taken place. It's settled. But in time and in our experience, the actual visible manifestation of Jesus hasn't taken place yet. But that's why even in the Old Testament, and many times in the New, the return of Christ is spoken of in the past tense in the Bible. Because with God, remember, there's no present only, except the eternal present. There's no past, there's no future. It is a seamless revelation of God's knowledge and will in all things. Now, I'm not trying to get too technical here, but just think about it. God's acts are eternal. So therefore, His justifying of His people has to be including in one of those acts. Now, I didn't say our experiencing of justification. Stay with me. See, there's a God side to this, and there's a you and me side to this. Okay? All right. Now, justification cannot result directly from man's faith only. You say, now wait a minute, it says justified by faith. Hang on, we're going to get there. Because if it did, it would be no different than the faith itself originating with us. And we already know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 blows that out of the water. That faith is the gift of God. Saving faith. So justification has to be tied up in that. In 3:24, and again in chapter 8, in verse 33. Let me just reference that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It is God that justifies. Justified freely by His grace. So therefore, it cannot be based on personal faith as either that which moves us toward God or merits His salvation for us. If it did, that would be a work. See, then you'd be getting over to where people have misunderstood James and thought he's talking about justification unto salvation too and saying works are necessary. We know that's not true. But if we have to understand that our personal faith, we just come up to God and say, I believe on You and so therefore You've got to save me, that natural faith will never do that. Right? If it did, it would be a work that caused God to have to save us. In other words, He'd be held bondage by our will. That's impossible, right? Thankfully, it's a good thing. So, the conclusion of that is, Hebrews 11:1, no one is justified because they have faith, but they have faith because they're justified. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Listen now. The evidence of things not seen. So, what it's saying is justification is invisible, as faith is, and only the outward act shows what's taken place already in the heart. Now, I know, and it should be that way, pretty much everybody in here will be thinking, wait a minute, what about Romans 5:1? Well, let's look at it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, take note of this, and you check it out. If you find something different, tell me. Whatever point you do, tell me. Believers are said in the New Testament to be justified by faith, of faith, or through faith, but they are never said to be justified on account of faith. That makes sense? Justified by, in or through, but never on account of faith. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I live by the faith of who? The faith of Paul? Nope. The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that faith becomes ours, right? That's again what Ephesians 2:8-9 is talking about. But it is not our own faith that we've mustered up somehow and been able to, like I say, manipulate God to say, well, that person's got a lot of faith. I'm going to have to save them. You know, I'm forced to. Indeed, rather, it is as it says. We are justified freely. Verse 24 of chapter 3. Now, so therefore, justification is a direct act of God's will, as we've said. So as His will to save people is ultimately their salvation. Is that right? His will to save you is your salvation. That's what accomplishes it. So in the same way, His will to justify is our justification. Now, again, we're talking right now all about God's side. That's what Paul is dealing primarily with here. But it's important to see that, because then when we get back to James, we realize he's talking about man's side of justifying and how others know that we are justified and that we ourselves know that we are. Again, remember Hebrews 11:1 I just quoted. The reason you know you have faith is because that faith is the evidence of what you cannot see in yourself. Your changed heart, the residence of the Holy Spirit in you, the presence of Christ in and with you, the forgiveness of your sins, the washing in His blood. You can't see any of that. But the faith that God has given you is the outward evidence of that which cannot be seen. Now, so as God's people are, and again, this is Ephesians 1. Well, let me just read it. That'd be the safest thing to do. Let me read Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen now, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now back to verse 3. All here definitely means all. Now there's places in the Bible where all, especially in the New Testament, means all of a certain kind. Right? All of a group. Okay? So, for example, if I said, okay, as the church gets together, as we come together on Sunday morning, all are here. Well, I could say that, but that's not really the case. Because not even all the people that are members of the church are here, and certainly not all those people out there are here. See, that all doesn't mean all in that sense. This all does. All spiritual blessings are given to us, and notice, it is past tense. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, here's the conclusion. If indeed Christians are given all spiritual blessings in Christ, then certainly justification has to be one of those. It's a spiritual blessing, right? And He said, I gave you all of them, and it's past tense. Again, we're talking about God's side. It's important to see that. So, what do we conclude then? Paul says in verse 27, so since you know that, where is boasting? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the very law of faith, anything we might could try to boast about is excluded. Because it's God. It's Him. So we conclude, Paul says, again in verse 28, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, how do we experience at the point of conversion and know that we are justified? How do we know that? Again, in chapter 5, as I've already read, he says we've been justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, a little bit further over, he says we've been justified by His blood, verse 9. Justified by faith, justified by His blood. Well, which is it? Well, it's both. So His shed blood on the cross was justifying blood then, some 2,000 years ago. How do we know that? For ourselves. Because when we come to Christ and we repent of sin, Call on Him to save us. And we experience that new birth and we experience that transformation. And we know that God has redeemed us and forgiven us. At that point, we can truthfully say, God has justified me. And He did it by faith. That's our side of it, you see. And most of the time, folks will get confused and bothered and all that about these things without realizing if you'll just keep in God's court what's in God's court and in your experience what's in your experience and understand how they're both different and yet they coalesce together and weave together like a wonderful patchwork quilt, you won't have as much trouble. You won't have as much trouble. Because it is God who is at work in us what? Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, the work of God in justifying is all His work. But we come into the blessings, the understanding, the benefit, the peace that comes from it at the point when we trust Christ. That's when it comes real to us. And so it's not incorrect to say that. On November the 4th, 1971, somebody might say, I was justified by Christ. That's when I called on Him to save me. Totally correct. But that's not considering what God has done in the big picture. And it's okay to say it that way and not consider it, except that it makes us so much more thankful and so much more humble when we think about God's side of it. And so that's what Paul is trying to accomplish here. People have said the whole letter of Romans is about justification by faith. I understand that. I would say it's more like about the righteousness of God. He says a whole lot more about that, actually, than he does justification by faith, if you really analyze the whole letter. But whatever the case, the righteousness of God leads to His wonderful justifying of all those people who believe on Christ. So, Paul says, you have to understand that, yes, you come into the blessings and graces and enjoyment and assurance of your justification when you trust Jesus. But understand, that's just one of the spiritual blessings, and I'm already telling the Ephesian church, and by extension all believers, He's already done that. He's already done that. It is past tense. That's why, listen folks, we say this sometimes, but I don't think we really live in light of it. I know I don't. What does He say there in Ephesians? We are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Now, He's writing to folks who are just like us, walking around on the dusty earth. He says, but wait a minute, understand your position. You're already seated up there. No, I'm not. I'm down here. Well, in God's view, in God's work, in the spiritual realm, which, again, remember, is the true realm of existence, right? Spiritual realities are more real than physical realities. I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but it makes Bible sense. And so, when Paul says, look, He's already got you sitting up there in the heavenly places in Christ, even while you're still down here. The only way that can work is because it is the spiritual existence and blessing that God has given us. And so, really, when you think about it that way, it's not too hard to understand how justification or anything else that we want to mention in connection with salvation is something that God has already set and sealed. It's a done deal. Because God, again, sees everything in the eternal present. We could not come up to God and say, you remember, Lord, I know you do, when Moses was around and so on, so He would say, Moses right here. Well, you know, when you said Jesus is going to come back and set up His kingdom, Christ is right here, His kingdom's right here. And we go, what? You see, we can't comprehend that, but we sure rest in it. And it sure does give peace to know that God does live in the eternal present and all things with Him are in a continuum of His will. Past, present, future, as we define it. Remember, folks, time only exists for the creation and for us. It doesn't exist for God. He made it so that the creation and all the created beings could operate within it. We have to. But God's outside of time. It has no hold on Him. And it has no distinction in His mind or will. Now, I know that's a whole lot to chew on, but listen to me. Before you can understand clearly, I believe, what James is talking about when he says, look, Abraham and Rahab were justified by their works, not by faith only. The only way you can understand that is to see that what he's talking about is not what Paul's talking about here. It can't be. They cannot be separated, but they are two different justifications. So what do we conclude from that? Well, actually, one thing to remember, there's only four references in the entire New Testament that say justified by faith. Now, there are four, so certainly that's important, but there's only four. And so God is telling us what you need to mainly major on is seeing what my work is. I was reading in Psalms this morning. I just go through Psalms, and the Psalm I happened to be in had this verse in it, Psalm 143, verse 2. David says, "In thy sight, no man living can be justified." Wow. That's what he said. Now, what did David mean? Well, he certainly didn't mean what James is talking about, because James says, hey, they were justified by their works. So David would say, well, the only way I can understand that is, James, you must be talking about others seeing the proof of their faith by what they did. Not the fact that they got that faith by what they did, but it proved they had that faith. And James would say, amen, that's exactly what I mean. Because then David would say, but Paul is talking about, or will be talking about, what I'm talking about. That no man living can justify himself before God. It's the act of His grace. Right? So, again, back to James. What he's saying is, you need to understand that there is a justification that is absolutely necessary, and if it's not present, this one I'm talking about, justified by works, then you can't have any confidence that the justification by faith is present. See, this gets down to the nitty-gritty, doesn't it? It gets back to exactly how he started off. This guy says he has faith, but he doesn't have any works. Can that kind of faith save him? Absolutely not. But he doesn't get that faith by working. Rather, that faith gives birth to the works. Because it's genuine. And so, we really get down to where we live here. We can claim what we want to claim. We can rest in what we think we can rest in. But if there are no works flowing from us that justify us... Now listen to, first of all, justify ourselves before ourselves. You say, well, is that necessary? Sure it is. Because, you see, a lot of the struggle that people have about whether they're saved or not, I mean, I'm talking about true believers, comes back to that. Now, when it's an unbeliever, it's a good thing they're having that struggle. That's the mercy of God. They have thought they're saved, and then they start thinking, well, maybe I'm not. And if they're not, that's good. They need to think that way, and they need to do something about it, don't they? But I'm talking about a believer who struggles with doubts. Many times that can be traced back to this very thing. Again, Hebrews 11:1 says, you want evidence of that which is not seen? Then that faith has to be outward. It has to show something. It has to do something. It has to evidence that it's there. So many times, a doubting of salvation can simply be cured by that person saying, what can I look back on? Or what can I talk to others who know me best and just say, do you see anything in my life that would tell you, I'm not just by my words, but by my life. Do you see anything in my life that looks like fruit? Do you see anything in me that seems to be of God? If they say yes, well, this. See, there's your comfort. There's your encouragement. And so James wants us to understand that. And next week, Lord willing, when we get to justification with men, it will become even more clear. But here's the thing. Justified without realizing it until the point in time is really easy to understand. I'm going to close with this. Think about a fellow on trial. On trial for a serious crime. But he is really hoping that he'll be declared innocent. He feels he should be. But all the evidence is condemning and damning against him. And so the jury goes out. And they're gone and gone and gone and gone. And all that time he's sweating and wondering and worrying and fearful. And they come back in and they say, Your Honor, we've reached a verdict. What is your verdict? We declare the defendant not guilty. Now, when did that decision take place? When they walked into the courtroom and sat back down in their seats? It took place back there in that closed room. See, they justified him back there. But he didn't get to experience it until they came in and told the judge, and the judge said, bang, with the gavel, you can go free. Think about that. That's what we have in a manner of speaking. I know it's a poor illustration, but I think it gets the point across. A justification took place back there. But we come into the benefit of it. All of a sudden, when we trust Christ, we say, He's justified me. He sure has. That was going on in that room you couldn't see in, and I couldn't see. It's because it's God. And that's how He works. Let's bow our heads.